May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning in our gospel, we jump over to the beginning of the part of Matthew's gospel that we have. Basically, the story that we jumped over, we heard on the second Sunday of Advent this year. So way back on that December morning, we heard the story of John the Baptizer sitting in Herod's prison cell, having second thoughts about Jesus, the very one for whom John was sent to prepare the way. It seems Jesus wasn't quite living up to his expectations. So John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answers, "Just take a look at what I'm doing here. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Let those who have eyes to see and ears to hear take note. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near." As John's disciples are going away, Jesus addresses the crowd with a short speech praising John the Baptist. And our passage today is the concluding part of that speech. And that's how we get to today's parable. To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace, playing wedding and funeral games. Now, I'm not sure that this is what Jesus had in mind when he started talking about this generation, but every time I've read this passage as I prepared to preach today, my mind has gone straight to the gazillion articles I've read about why this generation or that generation isn't in church. This is the kind of thing that church professionals spend their time writing about these days. The millennials, we're told, are leaving the church in droves because they don't find authenticity and meaning waiting for them at the door when they arrive. Interestingly enough, 15 years ago, the buzz was all about how to reach Generation X, those of us who grew up in the shadow of the baby boom. Guess why my generation left the church? And guess what we're looking for when we come back? Authenticity, honesty, community, meaning. And now we're beginning to hear about Generation Z, the young folk who were born between 1995 and now. What do you suppose the experts will tell us about that generation and what they're looking for? I predict we'll be hearing about the need for authenticity, honesty, community, and meaning. And we don't hear a whole lot about the greatest generation or the baby boomers and what they're looking for because y'all are here. You're still here. You're the ones who built most of the churches in this country. Thank you for that, by the way. These generations, all of us, are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you will not mourn." These generations bring with them their expectations, and they seem all too ready to walk right back out the door if those expectations aren't met. Maybe Jesus did have these generations in mind when he told this parable. He casts the children sitting in the marketplace as judges in a parody of a courtroom drama. Jesus and John the Baptist are the defendants in this case. to be judged by this generation. Now, the criteria for judgment seem to be the expectations of the people. John comes to proclaim repentance, modeling an austere life of fasting and poverty. And he will eventually be beheaded for his honesty and authenticity. Jesus comes to proclaim grace and redemption from sin, modeling an inclusive life of joy and fellowship. And he will eventually be crucified for his authenticity and honesty. John delivered honesty, authenticity, and meaning. Jesus delivered all that and more. Inclusive community, grace, joy, forgiveness of sin, and salvation. The generation characterized as children sitting in the marketplaces, playing games, pretending to be judges, that generation rejects John, calling him a demon. And they reject Jesus, calling him a glutton and a drunkard. Neither John nor Jesus fit their expectations for prophets and messiahs. These generations come to the gathering places looking to have their expectations fulfilled, and they're confounded by what John and Jesus present to them, proclaim to them. The kingdom of heaven has come near to you. And it is rejected, even though the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are comforted. This proclamation is rejected because it doesn't meet their expectations. God keeps showing up to bring the kingdom near again and again. And the people of these generations keep rejecting God's grace because it doesn't fit their expectations. So, what do these generations come here seeking? Are we looking for honesty, authenticity, meaning, happiness, community? Is it your expectation that the church is here to provide those things for you? Is that what you think the church is here to do? To be for you? Some of you may be surprised and maybe even shocked to hear me say that none of these very good things is the first priority of the church. You see, the church is not for us. Our worship is not for us. It is for God. The first priority of the church is to offer God our worship and praise. We give glory to God who created us and our world, who redeems us and our world, and who sustains us and our world. That is the first thing, to worship God. The second priority of the church is to seek and serve Christ in all others, and to introduce Christ to those who haven't met him yet. We offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God, and we bring forward our offerings of bread and wine and money and put them on this altar, where they represent the labor of human hands given back to God from whence they came. given back to God for God to use according to the divine purpose. As Christopher reminded us, there you are, so eloquently last week, we offered those things that are most precious to us in order to see God's power working in those things, transforming them for God's purpose. And God can do infinitely more with our offerings than we can ask or imagine. And those offerings are not given for our sakes so that we can enjoy the fruits of God's work. All our offerings and sacrifices, and they are real and good and true, they are all given in order to lift the burdens of the world, to show the world those places where the kingdom of heaven has drawn near and has drawn near enough to be seen and known. And it's only after we've offered our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, it's only after we've taken the gospel to those who haven't yet heard it, it's only after those things that we can begin to look for the fruits of our faith. These generations, all of us, greatest generation, baby boomers, millennials, generations X, Y, and Z, all are invited to step into the grace of the yoke of discipleship. And that yoke of discipleship isn't about seeing what's in it for ourselves. The yoke of discipleship means looking for what's in us for the kingdom of heaven, what we bring that shows forth the kingdom of heaven. The yoke of discipleship is not making sure that we meet the expectations of each generation, but it is an offering of ourselves, our souls and bodies, completely trusting in God's grace to transform us according to God's purpose. We who are wearied by the changes and chances of the world come to worship our God, who was and is and always will be the God of light and love and life. And we trust the invitation of our Savior, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The church isn't here to fulfill our expectations. The church is here as a gathering place for those who worship the God of love in thanksgiving for everything that we've already been given, and for so much more that God is waiting to give us, which far exceeds our expectations. The church is here as a temple of offering, where we make a sacrifice of our expectations, leaving them on the altar, so that we can take up and put on the yoke of discipleship. And once we join ourselves to God and each other in this yoke, we can rest from trying to build our own kingdoms and begin to discover the joy of entering into the kingdom of righteousness and peace.